Say, I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see. And I have a heart to perceive. This message is to show me Jesus on my case. Amen. And amen. You see, in John chapter 7, he's at the feast, which I remind you that that was part of what, you know, he was showing. When we follow Jesus, we follow him to the feast because he went. He went to every feast. He didn't miss out on Tabernacles. So, this being the second half of the first day, it's also showing us that the Holy Spirit, who was on the job bringing Jesus into an awareness of the intensity of the celebration that he was involved in. So, we were looking last night where he gets to be, let's say, pressured by the believers of that day, as well as the unbelievers. So if you go to verse 28, it says, Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. Notice the word, he sent me, meaning it wasn't his idea. There are times he's going to send you where you don't want to go. He's going to send you because he's got a purpose for you that you may not comprehend until the revelation comes. Correct? Amen. Verse 30. At this, they tried to seize him. Notice again the complete reaction from the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
No one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. How many times you'll see that when you're reading the gospel, that he would disappear? How many times did he disappear in front of everybody and they were left holding the bag and he wasn't around? Because his time had not yet come. 31. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him. So many in the crowd put their faith in him. They had already understood that he was the Messiah. When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? Then the Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you for only a short time. Then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live, scattered among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, you will look for me, but you will not find me? And where I am going, or where I am, you cannot come. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. That's really the book of Acts that he's talking about. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So why was the Spirit held back until Jesus was glorified? Anybody got a clue?
Wasn't his time?
The timing. Everything according to the timing. I can say that my wife and I just got read a book by Jonathan Cahn, which spells timing in God, which is the years of Jubilee. I'm not going to give you the whole book, but what it does is it makes you fully aware that God's time clock is ticking. And every 50 years, something happened to Israel. And it's recorded. The biggest surprise for me was the scriptures that are read by the Jewish people on those 50-year anniversaries was spoken out, and in the earth, a definite change was happening to the country of Israel, including the day that was declared the capital, and our president was involved. That whole book makes you aware of the timing of God that is so precise that your brain says, oh my God. You know, even when the city was, you know, delivered to the Jews in 1967, the scripture was going all at different synagogues all over the earth. It was the same scripture that was being declared that it was the next Jubilee. So it follows 1867, 1917, 1967, 2017. You've got four Jubilees that you can see clearly the hand of the Lord and the timing. Do you possibly believe that the church is not part of his plan? The church is part of his plan. That's his bride. Mm-hmm. That's his people. That's us. How are we going to act when we're ready?
Like him.
Yes. The very works that he did, we will do. Why is he preparing you through pain and suffering and difficulties and trials of many kinds? Because he's got an ultimate purpose. And it is for you to be able to handle what he was able to handle. To encourage the broken and the blind and the lame. Okay. I just had a snap vision. I am with Gaston Nicole. I'm in Florida. I don't remember what year it was. But I knew that this gentleman that I used to listen to on radio, an evangelist, can't think of his name right now, was going to be at the Avon Center in the middle of the state. And it was maybe 45 minutes drive from where we were with Gaston Nicole. So the next morning I said to Gaston, do you have any plans for today? He said, no. I said, well, there's an evangelist, and he's an older man. And he used to work with Catherine Coleman, if I remember correctly. And he became an evangelist after she went home. He's going to be at the Avon Center in whatever city in Florida. Well, he says, can't we go? And so I was looking for a possibility. He's all excited. So we drove, whatever that time was, and we got to the conference center, which is a huge place, and we got in there, and we had not second row seats, but I think third row. It was, you know, we were early, so we had a great, great seat. And I'm all excited because I'm believing, believe it or not, that that man who had such a strong voice, and he preached like a black person. I don't know why, but that's just my impression over the radio. I always thought he was black because of the way he taught and the way he pushed and the way he shouted. And I'm not judging, I'm just telling you my perception. Well, he walks out there and he's an older man. Actually, he looked a little bit like my older brother, my godfather. And so, basically the same shape as Manoque Alphonse. Okay? So I'm excited. And I kind of pushed Gusto and I said, boy, does he look like our older brother. So, you know, Gusto agreed, you know, let's face it, this man, you know, we've never met him, but you hear him on the radio, that's not the same thing as face to face. Well, he gave a message and then he had a word of knowledge. He said, there's somebody here that has never spoken and never heard, deaf and dumb. Okay. And he said, the Lord says that that person is sitting and he points in the direction in the crowd. By that time, it's a big crowd. Maybe, I would say, maybe 400 or 500 people. So a lady gets up and she says, it's my daughter. So he says, well, would you both come up here? So the young daughter is, I would say, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there. But she looked like 12. Okay? And so the mama and the daughter, so he questioned the mother. Has this problem been for a long time? Oh, she says she was born this way. She's never been able to hear. She's never been able to speak. He said, well, that's not a problem for the Lord. So he begins to pray and he asks all of us to extend our hand. So we did. And we all prayed. And within 10 minutes of intercession, he commanded the darkness to leave. He commanded the deaf and dumb spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. He called upon the blood of the Lamb and a creative miracle in her mouth and a creative miracle in her ears. And all of a sudden, the mother is ready to fall. She's like vibrating because she's standing next to her daughter. And there's a sound that starts to come out of this little girl's mouth. And the mother is now frantic. Literally shaking like a leaf. And he said, I command you in Jesus' name, you make more sound. You can hear me now. You can hear me now. And the anointing was in that room. And it was awesome. Because he made her block one ear and she could hear. He made her block the other ear and she could hear. He walked in the back and she could hear. It was just awesome. And my brother and I mean, it was a moment, a true moment from the Lord. Then he said, I want you to speak. Well, she doesn't know what speech is. She's never really heard. All she knows is sign language. So the mother said, can I help? And he said, no, because the mother is going to feel sorry for her daughter and do, you know, speak. So he said, you can hear me. I want you to say, Jesus, Jesus. Well, all of a sudden, out of her mouth, 4 or 5 times, she said, yes. And then it spread open. And by the time he finished, she said, Jesus, Jesus, clearly. He said, now she needs speech training. She's going to be fine. She can hear and she can speak. And God has done a miracle. And I watched it. Why? So I can encourage you. Doesn't matter how difficult or how broken you are. Or how many years you've been broken. Or how much of your heart does he have to put together. Or how much of your mouth that he needs to change. He knows how to do that. It's not too big for God. And if you have never heard, it's not too big for him to open up. What you don't understand about the test you're in or the difficulty you're in. Let's go back to verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." That's our future. Amen. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said,
"My Bible says the prophet."
Huh?
My Bible says the prophet. Doesn't
yes,
say
the
God.
Prophet. Yeah. Others said, "He is the Christ, the anointed one." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee?" So there goes their reasoning. "Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family?" So they're expecting him to be coming from Bethlehem, even though he was born there. "And from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him." The next level is the heading in the NIV, unbelief of the Jewish leaders. Notice it's the word leaders. "Finally, the temple guard went back, the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does.' The guards declared." So he's having an effect on the officials. "You mean he has deceived you also?" The Pharisees retorted, "Has any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?"
"No."
"But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee also or too? Look into it and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." So they're trusting their understanding. Their understanding and their discernment is he can't be. Because if he is, we've just lost our whole country. Because for them, the Rome was the official that they bowed to. And he was really making them see that they had an anointed one in their midst, but they couldn't accept it because it would have been too costly. The same basic principle that happened to the leaders of Israel happened to Judas. And it happened to Peter as well. Even though Judas and Peter, for me, they were almost like two peas in a pod. One kept on going in the negative and then did up suicide. Okay? But Peter came close to it. Peter came very, very close to the same problem. So what does this all mean for us as this day of the feast goes forward? I sense that, you know, the timing of the feast, the coordinates that he wants to put forward, will give us an understanding of the Lord and why we are going through whatever we're going through. And each of us is in a different place. We're not all to be the same corner. We're not all to be, let's say, aware of the same difficulties. But as we go forward, the Holy Spirit will open you and me up to more and more of what he wants from us. I was surprised that I had never told Ann and John that Susan O'Meara was coming. So keep that in mind, that the Lord will anoint her to bring whatever we need that's the next level. Because of the doors that have been opened and prepared by God. And I do believe that, you know, we're going to go up a couple more steps and a couple more degrees. And understanding that our test that we're in, whatever that type of test is, it may be a difficult one, it may be a lightweight one, depending on whatever it is, God will bring clarity. So if you'll just bow your heads right now and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
let the truth,
let the truth
and the spirit of truth,
permeate me.
Get me into understanding
that
wherever I am, whatever I'm doing in this feast, you're going to get through to me.
You're
going to show me myself.
And
you're going to show me your love.
And
your perfect plan.
And your perfect plan.
To take me to victory. And the timing, will be of God. Every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.